you today about the honor of motherhood. I don't necessarily preach messages about those special days, you know. I mean, I don't let myself be bound to that. But the Lord has put this in my heart, what a spiritual day this is. And He wants you to know His way about the spirit of motherhood that He's put on the church. And it's something from God. And it gets in your heart. And it makes you a person who really cares and nurtures. And who takes it up as a part of God's love. I had a whole texting session with my sister this morning. Texted to wish her Happy Mother's Day and say, "You have succeeded in doing what I'm going to preach in my message today." And that stirred her curiosity. So we discussed that for a pretty good little while. That was, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the many other scriptures concerning how parents should love and direct their children. The church is the family of God. God set us together for His purpose. What are Jane and Jimmy doing over there? It makes me feel left-handed. Oh, I see what you're doing, Jimmy. That's great. Our church family is made up of many families. Some have several children. Some have no children. Some are families with a single head. Today is Mother's Day, and we're going to honor mothers. Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." You know, in some books it'll say, like, forward, princess, to be read. You know, in other words, you'll get the essence of the book if you do it. So I want to say this morning, I'm going to read some scriptures this morning to be heard. Yes. Because you'll get how inestimably important this is to God, that we've had such a poor understanding in our culture that we live in. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is first commandment with promise. Let me just stick in here, lest I forget it. Both of all the parents that John and I related to and grandparents, we watched over them and cared for them right to the very end of their lives, as it should be. John put his grandmother in a nursing home when the time came. I've heard him tell this story. You know, he says, "I did everything. I made all the arrangements. I thought I had let her know that we were looking at the time that we would do this. And so one day I was taking for a ride to Greenville. And I told her, 'I'm going to show you a place that we found where they can take care of you, and I believe you'll be really happy.' And she was silent for a couple of seconds. And then she looked at him and said, 'I hate you.'" This is real life when you're trying to help care for people. But valiant John, he pressed through it, and he was so beautiful. And he took care of putting her there. He took care of going and see her almost every Sunday. All things you do, he'd go down there and take her out to eat. When his mother got to where she needed care of this level, we moved her into our home. And she stayed there for quite a while. I don't know, a year or two. Came to church, all those things. And so the reality of honor goes all the way through life. And it's not just a Mother's Day card. "That it may be well with thee." You get a blessing out of it. "That thou mayest live long on the earth." This is what we are instructed to do, the command that is with a promise. "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." When children honor their parents, everything else comes into order. When they don't, there's chaos and destruction. Of course, that's not the teaching of this age. Not since Dr. Spock and others. They're just supposed to do whatever they want to do. Well, we see how the world is when the kids run it. Of course, this is not the teaching of the age we live in, nor does our society embrace what God's Word says. We have a lot of problems, all the way to school shooters. 18-year-olds just decide to kill their classmates. I think we need a big change. When will we catch on that we're doing something wrong? Let me up on those steps again. I've got something to say about this. I mean in Washington, D.C. It's time some people said some things very clearly. But parents can't make everything happen or manipulate to have ideal children. It's not all you're doing. You can't do it all, and you can't make them come to God. And you can't be a perfect parent so that your children be perfect. You may be perfect, and your children won't be perfect anyway. I want to take that burden off of you right now. There are responsibilities on the part of parents that will put children in the way of blessing, where God provides everything you need to be successful. You see that? But the children have, they do, they're not allowed to do these things, but they will make their own decisions. One of history's greatest rebels turned out to be a saint. St. Augustine attributed this to his mother, Monica. Augustine was not always a follower of Christ. He rejected his mother's faith with disdain as a young adult and lived with a woman that he didn't marry and had a child and pursued a life of hedonism. But that at the age of 31, he was influenced by the Bishop of Milan and by the power of his mother's prayers as he surrendered to Jesus. He gave his heart to Jesus. In Augustine's Confessions, in his autobiography, he said, "My mother placed great hope in God, and she was in greater labor to ensure my salvation than she had been at my birth." This woman prayed that kid into the kingdom. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, not wants to go, not thinks it's cool to go." Hello, everybody? Should go. "And when he's old, he will not depart from it." Now, some are older than others before they make that turn. Don't worry about it. They're going to turn. Yes. They're going to need God enough. I prayed for a man once that got saved by giving me signals with his eyes, winking, to receive Jesus because nothing else moved. Some people put it off a long, long time, but you just do what your part is. This has been the impetus for many finally getting into church. People seem to know that once they have children, they need help with those children. If we can keep them in the church, it will form something in their lives and psyches that the enemy can never take away from them. Now, I'm a testimony of that. Never mind, I didn't give my heart to the Lord. My mother took me to the place. And her part was bigger than my part. That's all there is to it. Because I'd been to church with my mother for years, when I finally gave my heart to Jesus, there was a visiting teacher in a small group, and she said concerning me, "Sue knows more Bible than anyone here." I thought, what? I had never turned to the Lord until just shortly before I met this person. I didn't think I knew much Bible at all, but it just gets down in you. And I have a strong commitment more today than ever that our children really know and understand the Word of God and be able to pray by the Spirit of God and give themselves to worship in spirit and in truth and not hang back like a bunch of people that are waiting for the show to get over so they can go home. They are a part of the church, and you're going to see our young people more and more take their places as a part of the church from the time they're early teens, and you're going to see them doing things like play in our band. I think they already usher, don't they, and things like that. But you're going to see them recognize themselves as the church and not fool around in some in-between stage. Let's get on it. I believe God's going to enable us to do that, and I'm excited about it. And he knows just exactly the burden that he puts in people's hearts. He knows who he, we have just so many anointed and talented people here that need to be helping us with these things. I'll see if I get an amen after that. Jay, are you over there? Okay, I want you to bring me down there because I want to be where I can very. That's right. Good. A lot of times people have an ideal of the church. Better come back up, Jay. They have an ideal of the church. Put this arm down. The children and how they want them to be, or they want them to act a certain way or do a certain thing. And they're trying to live up to an ideal, not a reality of children knowing God. There's no reason in the world why children can't just get excited about God, clap their hands, dance, sing, freely give a testimony. We're going to drive the spirit of fear away from our children. I want us to have children that are as free as we are. And we're going to get some of our people in the church that are qualified to be very good teachers and leaders in worship and praise and whatever to help us to realize this goal. And your kids are going to come forth, I believe, functioning in a different kind of spiritual way because we've set our minds that we're going to fulfill this thing that the Lord wants us to do. A child's going to be able and willing and not afraid to come over and pray for you about something and have his heart in it and his mind in it and not just act like a kid. Like I say to my dog sometimes, what's the matter with you, Star? You're acting like a dog. I don't want our kids acting like little shy kids. I want them acting like kids that are full of the joy of the Lord. And that you could ask one. There used to be a little boy here, and he prayed for me all the time, and he would come up and kneel at the altar beside me, and he would pray where I could hear it, and he'd say, "Lord, please help Pastor, and Pastor needs your help, and she needs your strength," and. This line you'll love. And Lord, help her to learn to dress herself. Because that's what his mother prayed for him about. Now, I want to talk to you a minute about the church as a nurturer. And then I'm going to go on. I'm going to end up fully on the motherhood thing. Have you ever considered how much the body of Christ does to help bring our children into his kingdom? Have you ever considered what you'd do without the church if you want your child to come into the things of the kingdom? Some people are trying to do it without the church. Rots a rook. Oh, I guess that was ethnic. Sorry. I want to read you this. You'll just love this. In Luke chapter 2. Verse 42, when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother didn't know it. What kind of mother is this? And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they went a day and didn't know Jesus wasn't with them. And they sought him among the kinfolk and acquaintance. Anybody seen our kid? And when they found him, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. When they found him not, excuse me. They turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple. I never realized there was all this time involved. They found him in the temple. What was he doing there? Oh, well, it was a kids' event, and they were blowing up balloons. Oh, no, no, no. He was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, getting the mileage out of being in church. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I want astonishing kids that really know about the things of God. Now, we have one or two or three kids here that are prophetic and will tell us things they've dreamed or they've seen or what could be happening next, all that kind of thing. We just need to cultivate it. We need to have more prophetic kids. And we need to nurture them. I want it to be spiritual. We don't want it to be a plaything, but we want it to be spiritual. They didn't even miss him until the end of the day, and then it was 3 days until they found him. This is not proper child care. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. We've been worried to death about you." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business?" I think he's almost saying, if you'd been in touch with the father, you wouldn't be worried like this. You'd know what I was about. I remember John said, "I'll never forget the day I just gave her," meaning me, "to the Lord and said, I can't live like this, worried about where she is and what she's doing and is she in trouble and is anything happening to her. I said, Lord, you called her, I give her to you, I am going to leave it with you." And he said, "I never worried anymore." Because it was good, because one night he came out with a revolver looking for me. So he didn't need to be acting like that. I mean, afraid somebody had gotten me or something, you know, that kind of thing. It's perfectly normal, I guess, in the circumstances. I'm glad he cares about me. Now, just drawing a couple of 3 points from this. You know, mothers can't do everything. They need the church to help them. Now, whatever the situation was, it was comfortable for Jesus to be at a distance from Mary and her, not to know where he was, because they trusted the church of that day. They trusted all those people and their kinfolk, and people were going to look out after each other. Now, I believe in us caring about each other and caring about each other's children and helping them. I do want to ask you at this point, though, don't take liberty in beating around on people's kids. You might go to the kid's parents and say, "I thought maybe he deserved a little smack or two, but I'm leaving that to you." But I just wanted to say this. I don't think it's our job to get into those kinds of things. I think it's our job to lovingly nurture those kids, to keep an eye on them. It's the most important thing. To let them know that you're there. You know, we've had, you know, little kids, young man in the church that I kept up with him, wrote him letters, went to the juvie center to visit him because I loved him, because he's a part of the body of Christ. He's not my kid, but I kept up with him. I knew where he was, and I find out where he was. So mothers can't do everything. They need the church to help them. And I think it's a wonderful thing that whether you have children or not, you have the responsibility to have a spirit of a mother or father in the church. Secondly, setting standards to keep the kids with us in the journey. We need to be keeping up with, and we also need to know what the Father is doing with our child. So we can work with that. Jesus said, you know, if you've been in touch with the Father, you know, we could have been working together on this. I didn't mean to worry you. We need to keep your kids together with you on the spiritual journey and know what's going on with them. Thirdly, it's understood that as children, this is a standard, everybody. As children, they accompany their parents to church. You can't train a child without seeing to it that the children keep certain standards, because they need that just like you do for growth. And they need to be a part of the things that are happening in the church so they can develop in that area spiritually as well as they do in every other area. I heard a man say once, if parents don't keep up with their kids, know where they are and ride herd on them, they shouldn't be allowed to have them. What do you expect kids to do if you just let them do what they want to do? Doesn't the scripture say that children are foolish, that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child? And so this just simply means if we keep up with them, if we know where they are, if we have a part in what they're doing, if we work together with them on that spiritual journey God has called them to. You know, some people say, well, if you make kids go to church, it turns them against the things of the Lord. And now, where is there a scripture for that? That's the strangest idea that somebody came up with. Always remember that some people are writing about themselves, not the rest of the world. So some guy's mad at his parents for taking him to church, so he makes the whole world think every kid feels that way. Are you kidding? My mother, if I pressed enough, I could get out of going, but things seemed more pleasant if I just went. I think you might establish a situation like that. Just let it be known. You know, there can be the exception, some reason that kids shouldn't be there. But I'm talking about as a standard in our lives, the family goes to church together. And listen, sometimes, you know, kids just, maybe they've been with some of their friends to church or something like that, and in their kids' ministry, they had the front end of a car sticking out in the hallway, came out from the children's room, and they had a clown act, and there was so much exciting going along. Well, you could just simply tell them, like I could tell children, I don't ever remember anything exciting happening among the kids. But I did learn the Bible, and we did sing Bible songs. And God does not obligate you to be the glossiest church in town. What He does obligate you to is to teach your children and to teach him to pray and to worship. And that's what we're going to hone in on. So don't let people get you off on any other. Well, don't let your child say, I guess. But by the way, children don't usually say this. I was going to say, don't let your child say to you, oh, I don't want to do that. Most of the time, kids really like our ministry for kids. But it's just, we're not obligated to what everybody else is doing. We're obligated to what God has told us to do. Why wouldn't you set it as a standard that we're all going together to the church? What if they said, I don't want to brush my teeth, and I refuse to. And if you make me do that, then when I grow up, I won't want to brush my teeth at all. We're so silly. You train your children, try to eat everything, some of everything that's on your plate. No, you can't have 6 Cokes a day. We teach them things like that. Why wouldn't we teach them to be brought up in admonition of the truth of the living God? We just, in America, we need to get our heads back. And General William Booth said, who founded the Salvation Army, he said, there's one great key to winning your children for the kingdom of God. Win the heart of the child. Win the heart of the child. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a great playmate. It means that you have to be all-around lover of the child and let him know that you're out for his best interests. Win his heart, but also make him your friend and someone that he can trust and that he knows will always be out for his good. There are mothers who had the opportunity to establish many young people in a work that will glorify God, many of their children. Sarah Edwards, the wife of Jonathan Edwards, she was the mother of 11 children. In 1900, there was a list of the life work of their 11 children and their descendants. Now, excuse me, Edwards, you're talking about 1740, somewhere in there. So this is 1900. There were college presidents and professors and lawyers and physicians and judges and mayors and vice presidents and authors and overseas missionaries and hundreds of ministers. Why don't we get with it and raise a godly seed? Malachi 3 says that he's after a godly seed. Godly. That doesn't mean everybody will be a preacher, but it does mean they put God first and they let God tell them what their vocation is for life and what they're supposed to be doing to bring him glory. Actually, the scripture says that the reason for marriage, think of this, is to produce a godly seed. How many people even think of that on this earth where we live? And you see, the mother's responsibility is to serve your family with all your heart, trusting him to make himself known through your children that they can be glorious examples to review for generations to come. I really do have a purpose. I really do have a desire to leave a mark for having been here. And I want it to be known when I'm no longer here that because of me, because of this ministry, many people are out. Like, I got a video from Lydia Meshua, who went to our Bible school here, and he's running for president of South Africa right now. And she sent me some things from what's happening in the rallies and all of that. And then she sent me a live video from, she had just been in Virginia Beach, and her daughter just graduated with a master's degree. And so she sent me a video of her coming across the stage and getting the video. But right before that, I wish I could had time to play it for you. It started off with that sound that African women make that I can attempt sounds. Can you attempt that one, Jane? Judy Work, can you do it? Is she here?
I'm here, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's say, la, 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 la. Oh, there you go. Just wanted you all to hear it. That's good, Judy. This tape started with that, and apparently they did that in the auditorium at the graduation right before she graduated. I'm not sure. Olga? Attorney. Those kids, all of their kids are turning out to be attorneys and ministers, and because they've given their lives to raising obedient children. Train them. They wanted them trained. They wanted themselves trained. They came here and stayed in really difficult situations a number of years ago in our Bible school. Learned how to pray and worship. They said, this is what we don't know how to do. And then they raised their children in this way. And it's wonderful how they just kept stewarding the lives of those children and how they've come out and how they, you know, our friends in India, what beautiful children they have raised up that carry on with the ministry there. That's all I'm saying. We need to project to get as much glory as possible in the lives of our children. Now, I don't want some melancholy to say, but my kid's not even, this is not, that's the other side of it. There's plenty of time to pray for your child. But there's a lot of people that need to know that we are projecting to have our children really bring glory to God. And we just want to do our part in it. And the decision is up to them. We've seen too many movies about people who had to become a minister because somebody wanted them to. Well, God might want you to, and if so, listen to that call. Oh, I'll tell anybody right now, don't do it for me and don't do it for your mother. Because it's a handful if you yield your life to the ministry. Do it only if God calls you. But otherwise, give your life to His glory, whatever you do. I believe doctors and nurses and so many offices like that put people in a tremendous place to have a ministry for His glory. It's not really enough to produce children that stay out of trouble only. I mean, sometimes they're really not out of trouble. You just think they are. It's really not God's purpose for our children to decide on our own what the children should become. They should be led through training and learning to know God and let Him speak to them and train them to hear His voice. You see that? It's a long way from the way we operate. All we think about is where we're going to college. And so I just sat down with a young lady one day and said, tell me why you've chosen that. So she talked to me, and I just talked to her about that choice. And then she made another choice, and I believe it was a much better choice. We've got to help. We've got to help in these big decisions. It is, where you go to college is really important. That's where you can get separated from the Lord forever. It's also where you can get trained to waste your life. Oh, I'm telling you, life is so valuable, so precious. And you only have so many years. We need to get our children in a place where they can really be trained to bring Him glory. I'm almost through. This hasn't been too bad, has it? Everybody okay? Usually if we have a little fun, we get through all right, don't we? I want to just mention, before I stop, a couple of marvelous mothers. There's a woman named Sojourner Truth, a former slave and abolitionist. She learned that her former master had illegally sold her 5-year-old son to a slaveholder in Alabama. She personally navigated the judicial system in Alabama, took the issue to court, and won, making her the first black woman to win a case against the white man. Afterwards, she continued as an abolitionist, activist, and preacher. And after she gave her heart to the Lord, she became a gospel preacher, and she had such a testimony that she won many to the Lord, but in the process, she saved her son from slavery, and she gave a model to the whole world that mothers who care can do a lot of good. I can't remember the circumstance exactly. It seems like it was when my sister was having a baby, and somehow there was a question about something, and so I was there, my mother was there, and my mother said, I'm going to go check on it myself. Like back in there, I guess, where they're having babies. And the nurse said, oh, no, you won't be able to do that. And she said, well, let me see, you stop me. My mother, my gentle mother, said, let me see, you stop me. Just keep on going. Mothers can do a lot of things that other people can't do. You need to be a mother with moxie. Do you remember the prophecy brought to Shekinah by Heidi Baker that said this church is a church of mothers and fathers? What in the world is she talking about? She said this is a church of legacy. It's a church where the people are not just taught, but they are nurtured and brought up into their ministries. You know, in the Old Testament, Deborah was a mother. She said, I rose up a mother in Israel. Now, you're not a mother unless you rise up as a mother. In other words, you can't be a mother just because you call yourself one. But she rose up, and you know a mother because they're nurturing, they're bringing up, they're molding, they're forming, they're covering. They're teaching, they're helping other people get, and they're sacrificing themselves so that that can be done. And there was Rebecca that John Kilpatrick likes to talk about, that when they blessed her to go away and to be married, the blessing said, the Lord make thee a mother to thousands. Some people think if you just do some little thing where you're seen and people know your name or whatever, that's a great thing. But the Bible makes being a mother to people a great thing. Because you can't take it away. It does something. It works through the emotions as well as the spiritual realm to have this thing of motherhood. How many have you noticed these big, burly ball players? And they're standing beside this woman about my size. And they say, my mama washed floors so I could go to school. I done went and built her a house. I'm so proud of my mama. You see, here's a guy that wouldn't be tender otherwise, but somebody tenderized him a little bit. This little woman got into his life and made him know he was a human being and pulled some reality out of him and showing him his own need for love. And we won't be humans if we don't have people mother us. And you don't want to raise up a church that's done by projects and classroom studies. That has got to be people, people, people raise up people in the kingdom of God. The prophets, pastors, evangelists. See, we've got to have our people take upon them this thing of mothering others, and what a wonderful thing it is. There's a powerful woman, this is the last thing I share with you, named Amy Carmichael, who's not a biological mother, but rescued hundreds of young girls from slavery to being temple prostitutes in India. Like Christine Kane, she gets orphans as soon as they are cut off from support at age of 18. They take them to the city streets and let them out. And there are people waiting for those buses, for those girls to get off the buses, and they lure them into the sex trade. What a mother she is. To snatch those from destruction and degradation and their lives being wasted on peoples. People's confusions and perversions. Amy Carmichael was she had, what was that disease? Not arthritis, but something in the nerves and all, very painful. But nevertheless, when when one of the famous missionaries, China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor, when he came to speak, she felt that she should go be a missionary in India, early 1900s. And she was a missionary there for a while. And if you can believe this, for quite some while. And then she had an accident and was greatly wounded in many parts of her body. And she was never able to come outside of her room again. She was, I guess, bedfast. And yet she brought these little children and these young women. And together, they, young Indian women worked with her. And together, they brought many out of that. and stole them from the devil. You don't have to be perfect in order to have the heart of a mother. If you have the heart of a mother, you be a mother. You ask God for a heart of a mother so that you can really accomplish something that cannot be taken away. She led a group of young ladies working with her. Seek those young girls' life, deliverance from a life of degradation. That's simply a mother's heart extended. It's the most wonderful thing, motherhood. I've spoken to it today in the terms of in the home, in the church, as a spiritual reality in the kingdom of God, a mother and father's heart. Someone who used to be in our church was a funeral, I think it was. It was one of a sad meeting there, and they asked him to pray. And so he prayed. And they said to him, "How can a boy learn to pray like that?" I'm not saying that he was a boy, he was a man. But how can a boy learn to pray like that? And he said, "My spiritual mother taught me to pray. And I'll never lose it." See, they may be not in your presence, but the enemy can't take their print off of you. Because it'll be in their heart because it's a spiritual reality. And I have had people ask me to be, their mother, their mentor, their pastor, everything but their father. From time to time and through the years. And I'm glad to help people know that they have a place that they can come to where there is a concern that they grow in God, and that they become somebody for Him. You know, we got to help people grow. Sometimes I almost feel like I cheated. I had so many mentors. I didn't have to dig everything out for myself. Sometimes they'd say to me, "Oh, no, don't do that." Something I was getting ready to thinking to do, you know. Or, "Let me tell you a story about when this and that happened to me. Boy, I wish I had never gone that way." And see, they saved me all that trouble by showing me what a big mistake they had made. I mean, I made some mistakes, but I could have added a few more. I want to impress upon you the sanctity of motherhood. It's a wonderful thing for children to have mothers that they're proud of, that they appreciate deeply, that they're just connected to, really connected to in their hearts, you know. Let me just take a couple minutes and honor my mother, and I'm finished. So many things in my life and about myself, I just plain got it from my mother. I either accepted it or she beat it into me. I just mean crammed it into me by words. My mother wasn't a whipper, thank God. But sometimes she would cry. And my sister and I would be ruggusing around. We're supposed to be getting ready to go to school. She's trying to get breakfast, all of that kind of thing. And I couldn't find this, and Mom Sue got my that. She's always taking it. She had to listen to all that kind of stuff. And I remember a time or two looking around, and my mother just be sitting there just crying. She just stopped everything and sat there and cried, because I'd rather have a mother that cries over me than walks away and doesn't care. And you know that they really do care for you. And so it was my mother who would say to me, "Now, don't lift your voice in public. It draws attention to you." Of course, these days, attention's what people want more than anything, right? So generations have really changed. Yeah, give me some attention. Let me on TV. Let me on Facebook. Let me somewhere where somebody can see me. But we were taught to be a lady. You just sort of stayed in your own territory and didn't call attention to yourself. kind of thing, you know. And I wasn't allowed to yell, "Hey, Mom," I wasn't allowed to do that. But my dad would act up, you know. I'd say, at the table, I'd say, "Pass me a roll, will you?" So he'd rear back like this and throw me one to the other end of the table. And Mother'd say, "Too bad I got three children." Instead, see, my dad was a ball player, and so I played ball fairly well. But she would stay with everything I was doing. She was on top of what was going on that she knew of. And she would kind of oversee those areas very quietly. Even how I would sit down, even how I would sit when I was sat down. She cared about all of these things. I didn't have to learn it the hard way, or not learn it, that's the case. But she taught me to cook, and for a long time I cooked before I got so busy cooking in the kingdom that I couldn't cook anymore. But I learned about food and all these things from her. I learned to appreciate, really, people who loved God, Oral Roberts and all these people. I learned all that from her. And I learned about hypocrites. She'd talk to me about things like that, you know. She'd tell me about things. But you know what? I never heard her say a word against the preacher. We never roasted the pastor for lunch. She was not critical of the people in the church. And she always tried to help people in every situation. And some of that I just plain got from my mother, because she lived a life before me that would help me. You don't have to have all of that, but that's what God provided for me. And I'm so grateful for that. And I want to encourage you today to continue being the godly mothers that God has called you to do, to bring glory to Him, and also to lift up an example of your children. And women that don't have children, that are not mothers, all over the church, I want to encourage you to allow the spirit of motherhood to be your portion, to really care about people, not so much time thinking about yourself. But let's give yourselves to nurturing other people. Amen. Let's stand together in His presence. I appreciated the blessings and prayers that we had over our mothers today. And I appreciate your being here so that you could be a part of that. And I believe that because we hear the word, because we pray, because we worship, because we are blessed, we will be different from that point. That we have not come today to do some kind of ritual. We came to meet with God. The Africans call it ennui, something like ennui. That's too close to onion, but anyway, something like that. That they have an attitude that they're coming together to meet with God. And that's what our intention needs to be. Isn't He a great God? Yes. Father, I thank You. I just want to bless our mothers today. I want to bless every home. I want to bless the children, fathers, and the whole family together. Help us, Lord, to have godly families and godly children, and to raise up a seed that will bring praise to Your wonderful glory. And Lord, I also pray for any that are grieving over their children that are away from You or have never given their hearts to You. We declare in Jesus' name that we have the weapon of prayer. Yes. And we declare that the enemy will not steal our children, and that we will snatch them from the jaws of the tiger, the great Satan, the dragon. I thank You, Lord, that we can, even as David did, reach into the mouth and draw that lamb out of the lion. So we just thank You, Lord, that You want to make families whole and You want to make them well. You want to bring us all together, Jesus. And You want to make us a testimony, a living testimony on this earth. Lord, we just give our hearts and minds to You today to be Your people. Is there anyone today, while you're still focusing on the Lord, that has never given your heart to the Lord? Maybe you're a mother that's here today and you realize how much you need the Lord so He can help you rear these children. Or maybe you're a grandmother who needs help And you need to say, you know, I need to come back to Jesus, or I need to come to Jesus because I've never given my heart to him at all. Anyone want to lift your hand and say, pray for me. I want to know that I'm his child. I want to know that I am safe in him, that he will hear my prayers when I call on his name. It's always right to give people an opportunity to come to Jesus in church. And that's what this altar is for, amen? Well, the Lord bless you. Have a great day. Now, I want you to see that he's turned the big water faucet off again. This is wonderful, isn't it great? And I don't know, but I think we might have had a couple, three visitors. So if there's anyone here today, I'd like to meet you today. If I haven't met you, I'll just go sit right over there this morning. I have a great Mother's Day lunch that someone has cooked for you or taken you out to eat. I sure hope you don't have to cook your own.